Morning. It's great to be back with you again, both from our time of being away for Christmas. We had a great time with the kids. Ben, I think Ben's still in his bed. I don't think he's gotten out of it the whole time. No, actually, he was pretty amazed by it, and just he really enjoyed that. We had a great time with them. Unfortunately, I started getting sick on Christmas Day and been sick. I'm about 97%. I think Cindy's probably like maybe 75 or 80%. We're getting there. But it is great to be back with you. One thing that I always like to look at the positive side of things, and there's a silver lining in this cloud of me being sick over the holidays. I can honestly say I lost weight. How many of you can say that, okay? You say, but it is truly great to be back with you today and to celebrate this Lord's Day with you. We're going to be talking about being a church of excellence. That's our goal. That's what we're really focusing on. It's starting, you know, now. But it's not just something that we want to do, you know, for 2013. It's who we want to become from now on. And hopefully you have in your bulletin, you have a little bit different handout, lesson handout this morning. You should have one that looks something like this. That is for you to take and to put inside your bulletin, your Bible, and to keep and to refer to from now on as we work at trying to become more and more of a church of excellence. I want to talk for a little bit about, well, what does that really mean? When we're talking about being a church of excellence, what are we talking about and why is that so important? Well, you know, it's kind of come, you know, to me personally, I realize that there's a lot of things that I have fallen short on. There's a lot of areas that I've just kind of done what I need to do and so forth. And, you know, as I look around at us as a church, I look at us and I say, you know, this is a great place to be. It's a great church family. The love that we have here and the bond that we have here as a family is one that I've never felt anywhere I've ever been before. And that's really special. Okay? But, you knew that was coming, right? But, there's still a lot of things that we can and need to do better because of who we are. And the who we are is that we are God's people. And we represent Him. And so, when I'm talking about being more of a church of excellence and striving to be a church of excellence, I'm talking about for myself and for all of us to be constantly focused on giving God our best at whatever it is that we are doing, giving God our best. And so, again, I kind of look around and see what are some of the areas that we can and should be doing better in. And there's a whole lot of things that we can say and we can look at. As good as the things that we do, can we do better? Yeah. There's a lot of stuff just in this physical location, the building itself, that we can do better on. Just in taking care of the place. There's a lot of other things, like, you know, when it comes to Bible classes, for instance, you know, are we being a church of excellence and the best that we can be when we have to beg and push and beg for months and months and months to get Bible class teachers? You know, and when, you know, we're talking constantly, you know, about, you know, our budget and how, you know, we're just not getting enough contribution to take care of our obligations and so forth. Can we do better? Are we doing the best that we can do, say, in all of the things that we're doing? When we're preaching, when we're teaching, when we're talking, when we're fellowshipping, are we being the best that we can be for God? Okay? And so this is a challenge that I'm laying before this church. I've laid it before myself first and foremost, because as I said before, I recognize there's a lot of areas that I have dropped the ball on. There's a lot of areas, just like in being, you know, visiting people more and checking on people more, that I've dropped the ball on completely. And my determination is to do those things better, the best that I can. And so it's all kinds of different areas that we can and need to be striving to be an excellent church for the Lord. Why do we really need to do that? Why excellence? Why is that so important? Well, I think it's because God deserves and demands it. Certainly, God deserves it because He gave us the very best that He has to offer, didn't He? And so He deserves our very best from us. Wouldn't you agree with that? Since God gave us the best, not only of Himself in creating us, and by the way, you remember when he created everything in the world, He looked at what He had created, the Bible said, and He saw that it was, thank you. Thank you. See? And then He gave us the very best He had in His Son Jesus. And so He deserves that. He also demands it from us. If you look in Ecclesiastes, take a look at what the wise man there tells us. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, just do it enough to get by. No. Do it with how much of your might? All of your might. Do it with everything within you, God tells us to do. You see? Whatever your hand finds to do, God wants you to do it with all that you have to do it with. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, whatever you do, work at it, how? As if working for the Lord, not for men. How many of you have a job that you go to and you're going, I hate going to this job, I hate my boss, I hate this, I hate that, and so on. Yeah. Well, quit working for your boss and start working for the Lord. And guess what will happen? Not only will you start doing a better job, but you'll feel better about what you're doing. Because you begin to realize that whatever it is you're doing, you're not doing it for that boss to get a paycheck. You're doing it for the Lord. Because that's what He calls upon us to do. You say, work at it as if working for the Lord, not for men. That's what God wants us to be doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7. But just as you, look at this, what Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, talking about all of the things that they have been doing, just as you excel in everything, and look at the things that he notices here, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. That's what we just did here a moment ago, that collection that Steve was talking about. You see? He's saying, see that you excel in that along with all of the other things. You see, so God is calling upon us to be excellent. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, and the text that Mike read for us as we began this morning. Turn your Bible there if you haven't already. And notice what it is that Paul is telling us through Titus. In verse 8, he says, this is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, okay? These things, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Question for you, what things? What things is he talking about here? These things that are to be stressed to everyone. Well, in order to find that out, go back up to verse 1. And look at the things that he talks about that we as his people are supposed to be focusing on. He tells Titus to remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. These things. You see? These things. In the next several verses, he talks about the way that used to be, which is basically lost and living as depraved people. But look at verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. That basically means we didn't deserve it. You see? There's nothing that you and I could ever have done to deserve God saving us. He didn't do it because we were good. He did it because He was good. You see? But that was our former condition. But now, we need to be focusing on these things. Why? Because these are the things, he says, that are excellent and profitable for everyone. You see, God is calling upon us to be excellent people of His. He expects that of us. Now, you have in your bulletin there, you should have this little sheet here, Striving for Excellence. If you open that up, I want to share with you four things that I have found, and these are not original with me, by the way, that really help us to focus on excellence. And what are the things that we need to do in order to really be a people and a church of excellence? How do we attain that? These things came from a little sign that I have in my office, and for those of you who've been in my office, you may have seen it. It's sitting on the shelf directly across from my desk, so I see it all the time. Okay? And it tells us excellence can be attained if we have and do four things. Number one, if we care more than others think is wise. Okay? If we risk more than others think is safe. If we dream more than others think is practical. And if we expect more than others think is possible. You see, one of the reasons that I believe that we don't oftentimes achieve excellence in our lives and in what we're trying to do is because we're not willing to care more than what the standard of the world is. See? We're not willing to risk more than what people in the world are willing to risk. We don't dream big enough, and our expectations oftentimes are way too low. How do we turn that around? By doing these things. Let's talk about each one of these for just a moment. Care more than others think is wise. Well, how do we go about doing that? Okay, in a practical way in our lives. You see, genuine care requires investing ourselves in other people. It's real easy to casually care about somebody, and when something happens, especially something bad, whether we know the person or whether it's somebody off distance, you know, we have this certain amount of care that we feel, you see, that is just common to everyone. You know, well, I care about folks. I don't want people to be hurt and so forth. But that's normal, isn't it? See? It's when we care more than others think is wise. And that is risky. See? That is risky. We need to invest our lives in the lives of other people, and that becomes risky because when we start doing that, we can get hurt. And that's what oftentimes prevents us from really caring more than others think is wise. People will tell you, don't care too much because you're going to get hurt. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. When you care too much, you're going to get hurt. The question is, are you willing to care to the extent that you're going to get hurt? See? That's caring more than others think is wise. Are you willing to get hurt because you care about people? You see, Jesus cared so much about us that He not only was hurt, but He died for us. And of course, there are a lot of people today who think that wasn't very wise. But I'm glad He did. How about you? You see? Greater love has no one, Jesus said, than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You can't possibly care any more than that. The world would say that's unwise. But God calls upon us to be excellent and to care more than others think is wise. Cast all your anxiety on him, Peter tells us. Why? Because he cares for you. All right? He cares for you. How much of our anxiety does he want us to cast on him? All of it. All of it. Every single bit of it. Okay? Here's a plan of action. You notice on your handout there that we have, you know, in each one of those columns, there's a plan of action. These are things that we can do and challenges for us to be thinking about. How can we really demonstrate and become people of excellence that we care enough for other people, even to the point of being hurt? Well, here's a plan of action for you. Think about who in your Jerusalem needs extra care. And the challenge is for you to reach out to that person and show them that you care more than others think is wise. Who do you know in your Jerusalem that needs some extra care? Okay? And are you willing to reach out to them and to care more than what other people might think is wise? We need to risk more than others think is safe. Wow. Risk. That's a scary word in and of itself, isn't it? Okay? You see, we tend to want to play it safe, don't we? No risk, no worries. You see, as long as everything's going along nice and smooth and I'm happy as can be, I don't like to take risks. Why? Because taking risks is risky. Right? Okay? So, I don't like to do that. Well, if we want to achieve excellence, we need to be able and willing to take risks. And risk more than what some people would think is safe. A lot of Christians won't take the risk of sharing their faith with others because they're not willing to risk their friendships, their families, their jobs, whatever it might be. It's too risky. And so we don't share what we know about Jesus. Jesus calls us to risk rejection for him. Look at what he says in Matthew chapter 5, 11 and 12. Okay? Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Yeah, that's risky, isn't it? Okay? To be willing to be persecuted for the name of Jesus, that's risky. But in doing so, that's the path to achieving excellence. Okay? Well, what do we do about that? Plan of action here. Think of someone in your Jerusalem who's not a Christian. How many of you know someone who's not a Christian? You've got plenty of folks in your Jerusalem that aren't Christians, don't you? You see? Now, think about what you are willing to risk. What are you willing to risk in your life in order that that person might gain the reward of salvation? Okay? What are you willing to risk? If we want to achieve excellence, we need to risk more than others think is safe. Think about it this way. Everything that you have, where did it come from? You don't sound very convinced. Where did it all come from? It came from God. He gave what you have to you. Don't you think that if you lose something because you've risked in this way, that God can replace it with that that's even better? You see? Whatever it is. Job lost everything, didn't he? Including his wife who stood over him and said, curse God and die. He lost everything. His family, his friends, all of his possessions. But yet he held on to God. And God rewarded him and gave him back so much more than he had before that, didn't he? That's the kind of God we have. So you see, if you think about it that way, it's really not much of a risk, is it? See? Not much of a risk at all. Dream, more than others think, is practical. All right, think about that for just a minute. Are you a big dreamer, or is your God too small? What do you see as God being able to do in your life and through your life? How big are your dreams? What possibilities lay before you? Do you tend to look at the situations that you find yourself in and categorize them as being impossible? Or do you dream big enough, say, to allow for God to do what He wants to do with you and through you in whatever the circumstance or situation that you find yourself in? You see, that requires big dreamers. And a lot of people would look at someone that dreams that way and say, that's not practical. But when we keep in mind and we remember the kind of God that we have, then we realize and we remember that nothing is impossible for God. Are you holding back God's plans for you because you don't dream big enough? That's an important question for you to think about. What can God do through you if you would allow Him to? If you would dream big enough to allow Him to work. Jeremiah, the Lord spoke through Jeremiah and told the Israelite people, you know what? I got great plans for you. You see, God says, I know the plans I have for you. You see, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God has plans for you. That's the bottom line. But if you don't dream big enough, then you're not going to allow God to do what He can and wants to do through you. You have to dream more than what other people think is practical. What kind of a dreamer are you? Here's a plan of action for you. Okay? Dream big about the possibilities of God using you to bring someone to Him. Instead of looking at yourself and going, I can't do this, I can't do that, I don't have enough this, I don't have enough that, whatever this and that is in your life, start looking at it and saying to yourself, God can do this or God can do that if I would just allow Him to use me. Okay? Because it really is, and you've heard me say this many times, it's really not about you. You say, it's not about me. We need to get over ourselves, people. You see, it's not about us. It's about God and what God can do with and through us. If we would only dream big enough for Him. Recognize the obstacles that are in your way. What's there that's keeping you from dreaming big? Recognize what those things are, okay? And ask God to remove those obstacles, whatever they are. Ask God to remove those so that your dream can come true. Is there any obstacle in your life that is too big for God to remove? See, that's a question you've got to really seriously ask yourself. Because when you come to that point and you realize that there really is no obstacle that God can't remove, then everything else that continues to stand in your way is simply an excuse. That's all it is. It's an excuse for you not to do what God wants to do through you. If you don't allow God to remove the obstacle, nothing He can't remove. Nothing. So we need to let go of the excuses. We need to expect more than others think is possible. Now, that's a tough one sometimes, isn't it? What is it that you expect? You know, people generally will only rise to whatever is expected of them. Okay? So what is it that you expect of yourself and of God? You see, those who accomplish greatness in life usually have high expectations of themselves. See, they really do. They're not willing to just sit back and allow things to happen. They have expectations that cause them and drive them to get things done. Okay? People that have, that accomplish great things for God have high expectations of Him. See? In other words, again, it's a matter of what can God do? And sometimes we need to turn that around and ask ourselves, is there anything God can't do? See? Because I think sometimes we don't expect enough. Okay? We don't expect enough. Mary certainly had high expectations of God, didn't she? When the angel came to her and told her what was getting ready to happen, her first thought in her mind was, and the question she asked the angel, how can this be? I've not known any man. I've not slept with a man. I'm a virgin. How is this possible for me to have a baby? Now, you understand that's my paraphrase, right? Okay? The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And what is conceived in you is of the Holy Spirit. Nothing is, help me out here, impossible with God. And what was Mary's response to that? I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. See? That, brethren, is great expectations. I don't know how this is going to work, but God said it will, so it's going to happen. See? How big is your God? In Mark chapter 9 is a story of a man who had a son who was demon-possessed. And the disciples couldn't drive out the demon, and Jesus comes along and has a conversation with this man about the whole situation. And look at what is said here. The man is explaining to him that the disciples couldn't drive the demon out, and the man says, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus' response is, if you can? If you can? Everything is possible for him who believes, Jesus declared. And look at what the man then says. Help me in my unbelief. So here's a challenge for you on this. You know, are you struggling with some unbelief there? Ask God to help you with that. What situation do you have in your life that you feel is impossible? Whatever that Red Sea event is that perhaps you're facing in your life, whatever is going on that you're looking at and going, I don't expect this to ever be any different. I don't expect it to be any better. It's never going to change. It won't if you don't expect it to. But if you expect God to work in you and through you to accomplish His will and His plan, then it will. Imagine what could happen if you ask God for His solution. The challenge is to think big. You see, I think sometimes we think too small. Our God is too small sometimes. You see? And if we want to achieve excellence as individuals and as a church family for God, we need to be thinking along these lines, you see, and realize what kind of a God we really have. Becoming a church of excellence is not some kind of a slogan. It's a goal that I'm challenging us as a church to strive for. Okay? But becoming a church of excellence is not something that's just for the elders or for the preacher or the deacons to be focusing on. It's for all of us to be focusing on and striving towards. And that's what I'm challenging this church family with. For us to strive to be excellent. And it requires commitment. Are you willing to make a commitment for yourself and for this church to be a church of excellence? Okay? Now, we're getting ready to sing a song. Wes has a song that he's chosen for us to sing as an invitation song. And the Lord's invitation is open. I want you to be thinking while we're singing this song that what kinds of things in your life do you need to work on and change or adjust so that you can be striving for excellence. In any of these areas, if there's something that we can help you with, then all you got to do is come up and let me know. I'll be up here in the front. Dale, will you be in the back? Dale will be in the back if you'd like to have a private conversation with him, a prayer, what have you. He'll be back there to receive you. There's someone here this morning that is not yet a Christian. If you've not given your life to Christ, but you're ready to make that commitment to allow Him to conform your life to His image, you can do that right now. All you have to do is call upon Jesus as Lord. Repent of the sins that are separating you from Him and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. But we can't help you if we don't know what's going on. So we offer this time and this song that we're going to sing as an invitation and an opportunity for anyone to come. So do that while we're singing this song. Wes, come on up.